Welcome to MCBI's 60 Mock, a podcast for curious thinkers.
Well, welcome everybody. It's a big day for us here at MCBI. It's Marina Pullen from MCBI, and I get to change hats yet again in the firm and become an impromptu interviewer just for a couple of sessions. Over the years, 60 Mock has had a lot of requests to interview or extract some of the information from our amazing presenters and do short podcasts on for those who can't turn up in Adelaide or perhaps aren't interested in the 8 a.m. start because can be a bit hard. So I am very lucky to kick off our podcast network with Jeff Stevens from Saab Systems, who just finished an amazing session at 60 Mock upstairs talking about teams and the benefits of when teams and people collide. So welcome, Jeff.
Thank you. Yes, I've been a late attender of some of these 60 Mocks that at 8 a.m. start. It can be a bit difficult at times, but yes, thank you. It was joy to actually get involved. So thank you for that.
Yeah, no, you're very welcome. And the 60 Mock community responded really warmly with lots of things that you were highlighting to them. It was fantastic.
Yeah, it was a good response. I was very pleased, yeah. Good. Nervous at the start, but pleased. Made me feel very welcome, so that was great.
Good, yeah. Good. What do they say? You should do something that you're afraid of. Is it every day or every week?
I don't know. There's a saying, isn't it? When you feel most uncomfortable, it's when you're learning the most.
Oh, in that case, I'll just ramp up these questions, shall I? All right, we're going to do a quick four questions and just have a little bit about you,
sure.
A bit of background, and see if we can pull out some of the themes from that great session that you just ran. So, Jeff, just a little bit about your professional background. How did you end up here, down the basement in Adelaide?
Yeah, good one. I did computer science. It basically comes from my love when I pulled out a Commodore 64 and started learning basic programming. And it was better than my bigger brother, so that seemed... from a very early age, I fell in love with computers and programming in particular. It doesn't sound so appealing to the girls. I said, what do you do for a job? Computer programmer. Software engineering sounds better. So so my background's software engineering. Done it for many years. It's taken me all parts of the world, which is great. But over the years, I've transferred those skills, learnt new skills in systems engineering, project management, people. So that's landed me the job where I am today, which is head of discipline for software engineering at Saab, which I'm still trying to work out what that means. Yeah, my son said to me, Dad, does that mean you get to spank all the naughty software engineers as head of discipline? Yeah, I only wish then, but...
There's an image, spanking all the software engineers out there. I think I'll leave that one with you.
Yeah, sorry.
You do sound like you're a definite and type of person who may have started off as a computer scientist, but then you've added to it, so you're a project manager and a scientist. So.
Yeah, and that's a natural progression, I think. You can only sort of cut code for so long.
And
I really enjoyed it, but you've got a similar background, haven't you? Yeah.
I squealed with joy, my inner nerd, when I saw Ada up in the combat systems. I didn't think anyone coded in that.
Safe, reliable language.
Yep. It is. But yeah, you're right, pretty boring. Apologies to all the software coders out there.
They're squealing right now, yeah.
So you're up at Saab, you've got this incredible role to influence people and shape people's lives. Where do you see yourself in the next little while?
Look, we've got some exciting opportunities coming up at Saab, particularly with announcements that we're going to be the combat management system supplier of all Royal Australian Navy ships. So I'm looking forward to how I can be a part of that, what that may bring, I don't exactly know yet, but I know that we're doing more collaboration with Sweden, so that's a really interesting thing that's going on, both challenging and exciting.
So are you saying the ships are going to be like flat packed and we're going to have to assemble them?
All combat medicines will come with an Allen key.
I feel very comforted, thank you. Sorry.
That's great. it really is just about learning more stuff. Seeing how I can apply that learning to help others and help the organisation achieve what it needs to achieve and contribute to the community, really. That's
That's something we all...
Yeah, something you can be proud of. You can say to your kids, look, this is what I do.
Yeah. That's fantastic. It's certainly something in the time I've known you that's been important. You know, that value shines through. So there must have been moments in your career where you were changed, for better or for worse. Are there any ones that really stand out that have led you to where you are right now?
Yeah, there's a few. I mean, obviously, every different place you work as, you know, touches upon you. And I was lucky enough to do a fair bit of consulting and, you know, you learn different things there. Probably the biggest one, though, was lucky enough through Saab and through Skilling Australia's defence industry, I did a master's in military systems integration, which is, it's hard to explain, but there's, you know, combination.
Sounds impressive.
Yeah, it does. and that's where a lot of this, what I did today, come from, that actual course. And so that was a real good eye-opener with regards to how the defence industry works, project management, program management, safety engineering, systems engineering, all those sorts of skills. And I went in there as just a mere code cutter, and I come out, I thought, as a much better developed person. My eyes were opened a lot more, put it that way. My understanding of systems and how that you could apply to different areas was much greater. I finally realised that there was a lot I didn't know.
Isn't that an awful moment when you realise how ignorant you actually are?
Yep, I was probably one of those really clever grads and thought they knew the world, and yeah, it made me realise I had a lot more under appreciation of what I didn't know.
Yeah, so I mean, that must be interesting.
Moment. Yeah,
Where you're coaching people and you're bringing others through that journey. How do you deal with that and giving feedback to people who perhaps haven't yet had that awful moment of, I'm really ignorant?
Yeah, look, I'm heavily involved with our graduate program, and I really enjoy that. And seeing some really clever grads come through, and also do our competency assessment for our software engineers as well. So that's always an interesting moment, particularly when you get some that, you know, kind of rate themselves more highly than probably what they than they are. So that's always a fun conversation to have. But I can kind of relate to where they're from. And, yeah, so it's about, yeah, managing their expectations somewhat as well, and you say, hang on, look, you're really clever and you've got lots of potential, but there's lots of, you know, your career is a marathon. You know, you're going to have your ups and downs. And you can't buy experience. But, you know, there's really clever guys and girls, I should say, that come through this program, and they're amazing. But that's why I like working with graduates in the graduate program in particular. Yeah, so I do see that, yes, all the time.
That's a great phrase. Your career is a marathon.
Yeah.
You know, there are moments, up and down, up and down.
Yeah. So well, there's
you need
times.
Stamina.
Yeah, there's times where it's like, well, you get kids and, you know, your career takes a bit of a back step, doesn't it? So it's important.
Yeah, it's a more longitudinal look at what you're doing. So let's talk about the presentation you just did. So it was all about teams and when teams collide and the amazing impact that teams can have.
Yep.
Perhaps you could just briefly talk about some of the themes that came out of today's session.
Yeah, so look, it came from a lot of research that I did while I was actually doing my military systems integration course. And there's a lecture there we had Errol Lawson. He was a fantastic bloke, old bloke. So I did some study into teams. In particular, I looked at, you know, what makes for effective teams. So I guess the key points that I was trying to demonstrate today was, look, you need to think about, you know, be aware of teams take a while to develop. They go through different development stages. Look, I've referred to Tuckman's model in it. I don't know if it's right or not, but it's good to think about, there is a tax associated with forming teams together. So you can do things like, team building exercise early and that stuff like that, and to help, you know, minimise the tax. But just be aware, there is a tax involved. Team composition is something that you should think about when you're putting teams together. And I referred to Belbin and his model and so forth, and diversity within that team. So that's something you should think about.
Just if I mean to interrupt, one of the insights you put up there I found really interesting was the output when you have a heterogeneous team or one that's really diverse versus one that's homogenous. You
know? Yeah.
So perhaps you could reflect a bit on that.
So there's some studies there that I referred to with regards to heterogeneous teams. So those teams that have got members where they have different you know, backgrounds, age, gender, so forth. Generally, they, for highly complex environments, which is what we're in Saab, they will give you more innovative, novel solutions to complex problems than a homogeneous team. Now, for simple tasks that I refer to, maybe the homogeneous team's better because it's a simple task, and because there is also a cost with the heterogeneous team that they observe that there's more likely to be conflict happening within those teams. And Belbin also referred to that as well.
So you're talking about these smart people in the corner who seem to be arguing all the time on complex problems. Those guys? That's well, all healthy and normal?
And there's conflict that's good conflict.
Yep.
And that's particularly, I try to stress to our engineers, conflict around the engineering matter is good. Conflict around personal, if you personalise that conflict, not so good. So it's this, you need heterogeneous teams to help solve really complex problems. But there could be a greater cost with associated getting that team up. So from there, essentially, is that yes, that, you know, you need these really smart, clever people to be able to, as I mentioned, missiles hitting other missiles, complex problem, and that comes at a cost. So it seems obvious that, well, if you paid all this tax to get this team together, once the project ends, why don't you just kick that team together and place them in the next project? Because you know, that tax you don't have to repay. And I was hoping to achieve from my talk was that I referred back into, I had a bit of a segue into tacit knowledge, embodied capital, small networks and clusters and so forth. And that's around, a lot around knowledge management, which is a big field. So tacit knowledge being the knowledge you don't know, you know, and it's really hard to pass on tacit knowledge. You can't just write it down. How do I teach riding a bike by writing it down? You need human interaction. And I spoke about, you know, bringing people from one team and bringing them into another team. Well, when you do that, that person has a link back to his old team, and they can bring to bear that network of people from that other team into this new team. So if there's a problem, he has this whole network of people that can solve that problem. And I spoke about the small world structure within organisations, you know, and that's where you're trying to reduce the silo effect in larger organisations in particular by having hubs and weak links between people. So as you move from one team to an old team, yes, that link back to the old team ages over time, becomes a bit weaker. It's still there though. Mm-hmm. So that was the conundrum I was trying to introduce. It's like, yes, it seems obvious that, you don't want to pay the tax again for creating a new team, but there's some real benefits in shifting people on and breaking that team up and moving to different parts of the organisation, because it reduces things like organisational learning, decreasing the what to call the degrees of separation, going from 6 degrees to 2 degrees. Mm. And there's mesh networks that happen across your organisation. And they're informal networks, but they're very powerful. And they could quite often be the solution to your problems. That's where the innovative, novel ideas come from. There's those informal networks that can solve those problems. It's not necessarily the chief engineering officer or that will solve the problem. It's the people within the organisation forming groups to solve complex problems.
Yeah, thank you. It was a great insight into, and you're right, I think ideas are popping up everywhere within organisations, and I think the thing I took away from your session was there's a compatibility between the network, but also being heard as well, and allowing the network to speak and to solve problems. So it was a fantastic session. So as we sort of look beyond 60 Mock, have you got some advice for those professionals out there, a couple of things that take away that they might want to hear from you, or just to help them on their marathon journey of their career?
Look, this is one thing I say particularly to graduates is, you know, you've got plenty of time to move on to the next thing. So get good at what you do. Do it well, because as you shift on, it's harder to move back. So it's good to get good at something and put that in your toolbox and move to the next thing. It's not necessarily as you move up the ladder, things get easier. They just get different. And that was actually wise words from my chief engineer who told me that. And I believe in that too. I think that's true. You know, it gets a bit more complex in different ways from solving complex maths or science problems or computer programming problems to organisational problems. They're just different.
Mm. That's great. Anything, any other final tip? It can be a footy tip.
Oh, I hope the Crows win this year.
All right, we'll just draw this to an end. No, we don't know what's going to happen this year. I'm backing Port as I do every year religiously. But all right, we'll do. What about we do three quick questions? All right,
sure.
A little bit about Jeff as we say goodbye. I'm going to throw a couple of questions at you.
Sure.
Favorite ice cream?
Oh, I don't know. Vanilla.
Vanilla. No, of course,
boring.
It is an engineer.
I don't know.
Horoscope.
I'm Leo.
Oh, of course you are. Look at us, scientists. Yeah, of course you are. And favourite thing you're going to do this weekend?
I'd like to say I'm going for a surf, but struggling with to find time is the issue, following kids around. But, yeah, hopefully going for a surf would be it.
Nice, nice. That sounds like a great weekend. Thank you very much, Jeff. Thank you for participating.
Thanks
not
for
just
having
in,
me.
Not just in 60 Mock, our 124th session was an amazing thing for you to be a part of.
Yeah.
Thank you for taking the time to put together the presentation, and thanks for being our first podcast interview.
Is that right?
Well, it's our very first one, and I got to practice my my interview voice, which has only been 40 years.
Thank you, Lee Sales.
All right, thank you very much.
Cheers.
And look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening in today. We look forward to you joining us next time.